Hello and welcome to a brand new episode on the Mission Shunya podcast. First, thank you for helping Mission Shunya gain more traction every other week. I'm continuing to get an increasing number of listeners and people who write back to say that they have found this very useful. It definitely means a lot to me. I will continue to keep raising the bar as we cross episode 50 and go further. Again, missionchunya@gmail.com is the ID if you would like to reach me. Or you can as always tag Mission Shunya on a social media post across Facebook, Twitter or Instagram. On that note, let us listen to this week's story of Helpers Green. Karan Rastogi, an entrepreneur who runs this award-winning enterprise, shares the story of how he got inspired to turn waste into useful products. A quick note for all the global audience. The flower waste that Karan mentions in the story is a very particular problem in Indian cities, especially around temples. Converting them into useful products is definitely a big positive. So let's listen in to the story. Hello Karan, welcome to the Mission Shunya podcast. Let's begin with the why. What was your intrinsic motivation to start Helpers Green?
So I'll begin with a small story. So imagine yourself sitting on the banks of the river Ganges and listening to the chants of Om Jai Jagdish. And seeing hundreds of lamps lit up and see people praying their hearts out with the belief that Ganges would listen to all their griefs and sorrow. A strong bond of faith is created, much beyond the understanding of scientific logic and reasoning. Not only this, around 400 million people rely on the sacred river for their daily needs and resources.
True.
Ganges has touched the lives of uncountable people in their new river ways and earned that respect of Ma Ganga, as we call it in India. But what is disheartening to see that people not only discharge the waste but are also polluting the rivers in the name of religious offerings. Devotees throw tons and tons of flowers and other religious items to make sure that their prayers are being offered. The religious discharge might look like a very tiny speck in the ocean of the tons of industrial waste that flows into the Ganges. But as per the UN number, 80 lakh metric tons of flower waste is disposed in the Ganges every year.
That's a lot.
So one basic question that struck my mind when I returned from Warwick Business School and I started visiting the temple because my father was not well. So it's a family tradition to go to the temple regularly. And that was supposed to be one of the biggest temples in Kanpur, located on the bank of the Ganges. So one day I was thinking about it and I saw what I can do to make sure that people don't offer flowers and don't use so much of real flowers. But I came to a conclusion that I cannot stop the people from what they believe in.
True.
But what I can do is to make sure that the waste can be curated into something better, thereby creating a circular economy. So that was the motivation that started Helpers Green. So when I visited the temple, I used to see a huge heap of flowers lying outside the temples and on the banks of the Ganges where cows, goats and monkeys used to litter the entire place. So we go to temple for our peace of mind. For example, we like ISKCON. Why? Because it's so clean. You're not allowed to offer anything. It's so clean. Why do we like Somnath? Because it is so clean. So that is the essence of a temple or any place of worship for that matter. But seeing the plight of the Indian temples, that made me realize that something should be done for this. And that is how I started with this Helpers Green.
That's a nice little short story clearly describing you have clear motivating factors to get started with Helpers Green. Now, motivation is something. Everyone gets motivated to do something. But how did you get on that and how did you convert that motivation into action? How did starting from segregating waste to then turning it into a big opportunity and a business. How did that happen?
So, like I said, that there were a lot of flower waste that was going into the river. So, I contacted my childhood friend, Ankit Agarwal. Then, Ankit was studying innovation management in SIBM Pune. So, there he asked me that if I have some project. So I said, I'm thinking upon. So he said, can he take up that project as a pilot in Pune? I said, okay. So he launched a small program known as iGreen.
And then he did a small pilot, and then he started making vermicompost. That was a small project, a college project. So that gave us the validation that yes, something like this is possible. Then we came down, then when he asked me that he wants to come down to Kanpur because he has a family here. So, and he has some family, he has a business as well. So we said, okay, came down, we discussed. In this meanwhile, we researched on various other products that could be used, that could be made from this flower waste. So it was colors, soaps, incense sticks. So we thought of first going with incense sticks because the color market is very festival centric.
True.
And incense stick is something that is used in every household. So we thought, let's go with that and then let's see how it goes. So that is how we started with Help Us Dream.
That's again very interesting to know that you kind of found a collaborator in the space and then you got together and actually deciding on the problem statement and then going through the solutions on what you wanted to launch, what we call typically as the product market fit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the sector that you operate, I mean, as when you started a few years back, I'm sure it was not as organized as it is today because the space, everyone's probably trying to do this, work around the principles of circular economy and the sustainability aspects. But when you started, I'm sure there was nothing structured, no formal value chain in place, especially in the area that you operate in India.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you go about creating this value chain?
So firstly, when we started operating with, so our vision was very clear from day one, to be honest. It was to make a women-centric unit, firstly, and to employ the rural women because they are the ones who are reject, who have a good potential to grow. But in the same time, are not in a very good condition. Like, to be honest, if I say many of them have been beaten up by their husbands for alcohol abuse or marital problems, whatever. But if so, once they started working in our facility, so firstly, we did not have a facility. For 2 years, we worked as self-help group models. That gave us the confidence that, yes, these people are ready to work. That gave us the initial push that we can move ahead in this direction. And when Tata Trust came in 2017, then we thought of having our own facility. So that is when we took a lease, took a land, and then constructed the building. And then we had a bus service. We provided all the basic facilities like open defecation free toilets, clean drinking water, tea twice a day with some snacks. And a proper sitting arrangement, lunchtime. It was like a proper facility because I had the experience of running a shoe factory, so I know how to do it. I knew. So the basic challenge that I faced was convincing the people to come to my facility because they were not ready to work. Secondly, they have it's like people don't tend to move out of their comfort zones. So it was hard to convince them, but when they started working and they started gaining that confidence, that helped us to grow. I mean, if I'm not wrong, those are the people behind our success because they worked outside the comfort zones to make sure that the flowers are segregated, the flowers are dried, crushed, made into incense sticks. So these are the people who never learned how to make incense sticks. We taught them. And that zeal to learn and to move ahead in life, that is the biggest change. And not only this, they are convincing the future generations to make sure that they don't follow as the community. I'll tell you a very good example.
Yes.
When the bus used to come to the locality, they used to have some sense of pride.
Wonderful.
That they're growing. People who, because we used to have a bank, we gave them bank account. So they used to save that money and buy amenities like fridge. So for us, fridge is a very normal thing. But for them, fridge along with Aqua Guard or so clean drinking cold water in scorching heat is luxury for them.
Fair enough.
Yes, and that is what that taught us, the simple values of life. For us, of a basic any person, it's roti, kapda, makan. For them is self-respect. They gain that self-respect and pride out just for coming here and working for us. So those are the people who are responsible for my growth or for the growth of Helpers Green for say. We were just, if you can say, two people who were trying to make a difference. But the actual difference is them. Their husbands don't beat them much now. Their husbands don't force them anything. Now they have become independent, the new man of the house.
This is wonderful. I mean, that's a nice little story. And rather than just building a business out of nothing, you're going over and beyond what you wanted to do in terms of building a business that is very sustainable and is good for the planet. But you're also looking at other social aspects of livelihoods, if I were to put it that way.
Yes.
So that's wonderful. But in terms of how you moved ahead with the value chain, like, for example, you did mention about segregating waste, drying them, crushing them, and then making into products. I'm sure gathering waste is a big challenge, and then deciding what is the actual product and how did it come to market? How long did it take for you to kind of establish a good presence in the market?
The research for the product took about 2 to 3 years. From 2012 to 2015, we did only research. 2015, we launched a brand under the name of Sticks and Stones. The incense sticks and the cones were named as stones. So Sticks and Stones, we launched a brand in 10 fragrances. And we launched our vermicompost as Mitti.
Nice.
So interesting concept about Mitti was, like, it's a vermicompost. We collected the waste from, suppose, CCDs also, so that we improve the nutrient level. But the packaging was the discarded whiskey boxes of 100 pipers.
Wonderful. I don't know, that served a different purpose.
Yes. So we asked one of the factory vendors that he used to have a huge lot of boxes which were discarded and nothing else to do. So we asked them to just convert this, change the inside wrapper and make sure that no label is there on top, and then we stuck our label and placed it in the market. For first 2 years, it worked well. The incense sticks also worked well because that was a new concept entirely for India. We were among the first people to launch such a thing. And we were among the first to make sure that something like this exists in the ecosystem. Because people are having a hard time to believe that aisa bhi kuch hota hai. Even the pandits and the pujaris, so much so my family was also not ready for it.
Fair enough.
So getting that into the market has taken us a lot of hard work. Plus the bee plant competitions worked out really well for us. I mean, that was a time I feel bee plant competitions were at their zenith. They had. So in 2015, when we first won an IIT competition, IIT Upstart, then we won ISB Idea, then we won Tata Social Challenge, and then we won Wharton. In Wharton India Economic Forum, then DBS NUS. So those are the few things that helped our brand image go up. And the people got to know that something is changing. These two people are trying to bring a change in the ecosystem. And we somehow managed to do that.
That's really a good journey. I mean, that's a good start. And as someone who's used your product recently, when I see the product portfolio and when I know the product, it's like, wow, it's well defined. You have different products that represent the flavors of different states.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all well, very well packaged. You've moved on from the whiskey bottles.
Yeah.
What is it? Boxes to, like, properly packaged boxes now. So there's a good change.
Definitely.
So how do you see this moving forward? So what is in line in the next few years for you?
So in line for the next few years, I see incense market is majorly dominated by the 3 to 4 major players who sell in masses. And the masses are sells in like packs of rupees 10 and 12. For us, since the operating cost is very high, we cannot think of going to that market level. I mean, that is the barrier because the operating cost is very high. So what I feel right now that, so these social startups, if I say in general, can have a better working model if big corporates, suppose ITC or Cycle and many other big players, they collaborate with our model and launch a range. That gives us something, a push to both the social entrepreneurs as well as to the bigger players.
That is true. That is really a good suggestion, because I'm sure even they would want to have a different product portfolio, different line of products that convey the message of sustainability. And
yes, you rightly mentioned sustainability. Basic meaning of sustainability is to sustain for the next few years or the next few decades. When your operating cost is so high, how are you going to sustain? How is, when we call a business sustainable, that means he has enough money to run that business.
Fair enough.
Sustainability just doesn't mean eco and eco-friendly and green. Sustainability means to support, to make sure that the business keeps running, and to ensure that if we have a good collaboration with big corporates, that gives us the push, that gives us a good working order, so that your factory is continuously running, you are continuously making the change. For them, it's a very small thing, but for you, it is like a dream come true, because your vision is coming clearer.
True.
So that is my perception of sustainability, to make sure that if you keep going in your business, you have to have certain amount of connects to make sure that it keeps going without compromising on your vision and mission.
That is really true. That is a very good definition of sustainability as well. It's not just about the product being sustainable, eco-friendly, planet-friendly. It's also about having the whole ecosystem of and the business being self-sustaining.
Self-sustaining, yes.
That's a good way to put it. And that's an interesting thought in that line. Now, we did talk about sustainability, which reminds me that we are not yet out of the COVID scenario, but I'm sure COVID did have an impact on all small businesses, on all emerging businesses. So I did hear about a lot of innovative products from you in that space. So how did you turn around from the COVID times, and how did you move forward from there?
I'm glad you asked. So COVID has been one of the best times of my life, to be fair.
Wonderful.
So in COVID, we since everything was shut, the temples were closed, and the women entrepreneurs who work for us, they were also in a state of dismay that what should we do? So we made sure that since we were not very high on money reserves, so we made sure that they get their food ration monthly, month by month. I mean, I used to provide them to make sure that they have sufficient to eat and to suffice their family.
That's a great gesture.
Firstly. Secondly, then, we got in touch with Uttarakhand and the Karnataka government to make sure, because the farmers were throwing away the crops.
True.
The flowers which are being used in weddings or in temples were not being used, and they were throwing it away. So we thought, let's turn it around and make sure that we have something beneficial. So we taught them through online training how to dry the flowers and how to make incense or colors or paper. So there was a group of 3 to 4 people. There was someone from Bangalore, Anamika Bhish. There was someone from Gaya, Mr. He runs a project, Happy Hands. So all three of us made a small group and made sure that we give them online training. We tell them how to dry the flowers, how to make incense, so Happy Hands make dyes. So we taught them how to make dyes out of flowers. So we had a good response. We tried to change the life of about 25 to 30 farmers in the Uttarakhand. They still contact us asking that if we have something, that because they have their crops are still not being used to their full potential. And if they don't grow for 1 year, the next cycle is destroyed.
True.
So then they thought that they gave it to us. Anamika even asked a few of her friends in Gurgaon to make sure that they take the lily. So a guy from Dehradun took his Maruti and drove down to Gurgaon and sold his entire lilies to 5 societies at a good price. And he was happy about it. So these were the small little things that happened in during this pandemic. Another most important thing what happened is moving ahead, I changed my entire packaging to zero waste packaging.
Wonderful.
So in that, the paper is made of tulsi infused seeds. So once you're done with the packaging, you soak it in water for 2 days and plant it, and tulsi seedlings grow out of it. So you're using an upcycled product with a zero waste packaging. One of the only product in India, I feel, as of now, because no one has ever tried to package the product in seed paper packaging.
Nice.
So I feel pandemic has been good for us to make sure that we think beyond our needs.
That's another little nugget of wisdom, I mean. And these are the stories that I hear. I mean, entrepreneurs pivoting from one idea to another and kind of leveraging their skill sets and looking at the challenges and then turning them into opportunities. And glad that you had a good turnaround during this pandemic and, in fact, benefiting more people rather than just selling your product to customers who you don't know. But here you are benefiting the entire value chain. That's really wonderful. Karan, on a final note, what is it that you expect from people? Because a lot of people listen to the podcast and they always feel they have to do something. How can they contribute, be it, say, someone who has a business idea or someone who's looking to collaborate with you? How can they help you in this journey?
See, it takes a team of many, many people to make sure that a mission that is small to convert it into a national movement. If everyone join hands and have that same sense of perception that, yes, we have to do something for the waste, I'm sure India is going to be a very, very clean country. And if anyone wants to start a business, I'm happy to extend my knowledge base so that they can themselves set up a unit in their hometown and start a small business.
That's really wonderful. I'll definitely put the links to connect with you in the episode show notes.
Definitely.
Because, again, the audience is just not in India. People from around the world also would want to upcycle, because upcycling is kind of the big thing now.
Big thing now, yes.
People just don't want to recycle things. They see like, oh, okay, what can I do better with this?
Yes.
I'll definitely put the links to connect with you. And because it's all about collaborating, as you rightly said, it's all about coming together and then progressing in this front.
Yes.
This is a wonderful work that you've been doing, and glad to know the progress that you've made so far. So good luck. Good luck with all the future endeavors. And
thank you so much.
Yeah, we definitely look forward to more amazing products from your end.
Thank you, Girish.
And yes, that was yet another success story of how an entrepreneur converted a problem and turned it into a sustainable value proposition. I have been following the work of Karan and the Helpers Green team for a while, and I should admit that they have been very innovative with their products. In fact, I have tried a few of them in the past. So please feel free to check their website or follow them on Twitter. All the links, as usual, will be in the show notes section of the podcast, also on the website missionjunior.com. I believe they also undertake global shipping, so do check them out. And let's keep the momentum going. Episode 50 is coming up next, so feel free to pass the Mission Junior podcast link to friends and colleagues. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Until then, this is Girish Shivakumar, and as always, thank you for listening.